Right. Am I on? Is this on? Okay, cool. Sweet. About 15 years ago here at Unity of New York, I don't remember 15 years ago whether we were in this particular auditorium or if we were still at the Cebu. Does anybody know, Britt, 15 years ago? We were at the Cebu 15 years ago. Okay, so 15 years ago or so at the Cebu, I gave a talk title, which I got from my oldest grandchild. She was my only grandchild at the time. Her name is Sahar. And at the time that I gave a sermon, which was inspired by her, she was 1 year old. At 1 year old and maybe 2 months, we were driving on a family trip. It was my granddaughter, my daughter, in the front seat. It was Timothy and my granddaughter in the back seat. And we were going on a little traveling adventure, which was taking us like out of town, maybe 40 miles from where we lived. And as we were traveling, we got almost to where we were planning on going for whatever activity. I don't remember the activity we were going for right now, but I do remember the ride. As we were arriving into the neighborhood of where we were going, there was a sign beside the road, and the sign said, "Potholes, next 8 miles." This was in the springtime. We had gone through the winter in western Massachusetts. It is very, very rocky territory. The glacier that came down from Canada, God knows how many years ago, just pushed a bunch of big boulders. So whatever we do in Massachusetts, we have to get around some rocks, which is one of the things I love about my gardening, is that I'm always up against some rocks, which is what life is to me. And so I love that. But we get to this sign, and it says, "Potholes, next 8 miles. My daughter and granddaughter are very excited, but my granddaughter's just, she's on her ba. She knew like 4 words. Ba, for her bottle with her mother's milk in it. Mama, for her mother. Dada, for her dad. And Gampa, for me. She knew these 4 words, and we were so happy that at 1 year old, she could say Mama, she could say Dada, she could say Gampa, and she could say Ba when she wanted her bottle. We're driving along. My granddaughter's in the back seat. She's in her little, whatever you call it, her little bundle thing that kids have to be put in legally. And she's got her little bottle, and she is just as happy as she can be. She has been serene the whole trip. Well, true to the word of the sign, at some point as we're driving along, we hit a major pothole. It rattled the entire car. And what happened as a complete shock to the adults in the car was that my granddaughter, at 1 year old, pulled her bottle out of her mouth, scrunched up her face, and went, "Whoa, what was that?" And then she immediately put her bottle back into her mouth, closed her eyes, and was back in bliss. We probably made it 3 or 4 more blocks before suddenly, boom, we hit another pothole. And immediately, my granddaughter pulls that bottle out of her mouth, does like this, and goes, "Whoa, what was that?" And then immediately puts the ba back in her mouth, and she's just sucking on her bottle like nothing is going on. Let me tell you, as we took this trip, true to the word of the sign, for 8 miles, about twice every block of the 8 miles, we hit a major pothole that rattled the car, and each and every time we did, my granddaughter went from just the bliss of being on the ba, on her mother's milk, to jerking that bottle out of her mouth, each time with the same expression going, "Whoa, what was that?" And then she'd put her ba back into her mouth, and she was just blissed again. She was back on her mother's milk. She was back feeding from source. Well, it blew us away. We almost had to pull over. We could not believe what was happening. After she had only expressed Mom, Dad, Ba, and Grandpa. We didn't know that that was in her. Not the words, not the expression, not the meaning behind it. and not what was going on her face when she was saying it. None of us had ever seen her scowl before, even when she was having a bowel movement or wanted some milk or had some gas and needed to burp. She had never put that look on her face. But every pothole, it was the same thing, going from bliss to jerking out the bottle to going, whoa, what was that? And then immediately putting her bob back in her mouth, back on the peace of feeding from mother's milk, back to the source. I knew right away that she had just preached a sermon for me, a sermon that I needed to hear. She had just demonstrated for me and for Timothy and for my daughter how we tend to go wrong when we hit potholes in our lives. I know that there are many, many people who really do wish that we could just have a smooth travel through life, a nice new blacktop road, guiding us from the moment we're born until the moment we die, never hitting a bump, never finding a detour, never an accident to behold. Just a nice, smooth ride on brand new blacktop so that we can never be disturbed and therefore never have a temptation to get off the bar. But what she demonstrated to me was that we all have potholes on the road as we travel through our life experience. They are not a mistake. They are on purpose. They're on purpose to find out what we do, how we demonstrate when each of us hits a pothole in our life. You might hit any kind of a pothole. It might be a health challenge. It might be a relationship challenge. It might be a financial challenge. It could be anything. But my granddaughter, 15 years ago, spoke this sermon to me so that I could speak it to you, that when you hit a pothole, yes, it is appropriate that you may need to vent, but your venting needn't take any longer than, whoa, what was that? And then you need to get your butt back on the bar. You need to put the bar back in your mouth. You need to reconnect with source. You need to get back on your mother's milk, back on your divine connection. What most of us tend to do is to take the bar out of our mouth, and we only begin with, whoa, what was that? And then 15 minutes down the road, we are still talking crap about that pothole. And then we add another pothole, so we talk double crap. Then we hit the third one, we start talking triple crap, and then quadruple crap. And you know the way it goes, for 8 miles of potholes, 2 to a block. We are still complaining. And in order to complain, we have to not be back on the bar. The crap hits the fan, y'all. It does in everyone's life. But according to my granddaughter, you need to just vent quickly, get back on the bar, and move on. Not like most of us. Many of us are still telling whoever will listen about the pothole that happened when your lover cheated on you, when your husband or wife divorced you, when your best friend deceived you, when someone lied to you, when someone used you, when someone set you up, when someone stole from you, when someone violated you in a pothole event that happened in 1986. And here today, if you can find a listening ear, you sure want to tell somebody about how you're still rocking on the road from that pothole you hit. When the Holy Spirit is saying, you may want to get back on the bar. You may want to get back on your mother's milk. You may want to reconnect with source. And so 15 years ago, my talk title itself was, whoa, what was that? Once again, stuff happens. And once again, we're not supposed to just swallow it, pretend it didn't happen, put a big smile on our face when there's not a smile in our heart. We're just supposed to get that our venting, our expressing, our dealing with it can be done in the twinkling of an eye. There's a scripture that says that it's possible for each and every one of us to be changed completely in the twinkling of an eye. What does it take? It takes willingness. It takes a choice, and it takes a decision. When I was here last month, my talk title was, "You Gotta Be Out of Your Mind." And the idea of you've got to be out of your mind, I want you to know you need to be out of your mind. Because your mind is the one that does not want to get back on the ball. Your mind is the one that wants to keep talking about the potholes and who that pothole was and what it was that they did or that they're still doing or that you have great faith they will continue to do. You just stay stuck in the pothole and you keep that scowl on your face and you don't just say, "Whoa, what was that?" and get back on the ball. I know it was 15 years ago because I know my granddaughter was 1 year old. On Tuesday, that same granddaughter will be 16 years old. Today, this evening, she will be having a major, major, major celebration of her sweet 16 party. I told her on the phone yesterday, "Is sweet 16 a huge deal for you?" She said, "I'll have to tell you on Tuesday, because Tuesday I'll be 16. I'll have to tell you if it's sweet. I hope it's sweet. I'm voting for it to be sweet, and I'm guessing it might be sweet, but I'll let you know when I get there. But I have glad anticipation that it will be sweet." And then she said, "What's it like for you, Grandpa, to have me at 16, your oldest grandchild?" I said, "Well, child, to me, it's just more of the same. Because you were sweet one, you were sweet two, you were sweet three, you were sweet four, you were sweet five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, last year you were sweet 15, and this year you're going to be sweet 16. If you hadn't been sweet all your life, I might be sitting like a kid ready to go on a roller coaster going, what's this sweet 16 going to do to influence my granddaughter to be sweet? You're already sweet." So one of the things I'm grateful for is to be here with you on this platform. Another thing I'm grateful for is to remind you of the sermon she gave to me. Another thing I'm grateful for is that we will be having a movie after service at 2 o'clock. I will do some more teaching out of A Course in Miracles, and then there will be a showing of the New York premiere of the 50th anniversary film of A Course in Miracles. I got two little, maybe 60-second spots in it, but it is something that made me want to bring a bit of A Course in Miracles here to you today. Do we have anyone in the space who is not familiar with A Course in Miracles? Everyone has some kind of an understanding of A Course in Miracles. I ran across A Course in Miracles in the 1970s. Somebody gave the three books to my father, who was a minister and my mentor. My father had him for about 2 weeks in his office, and one day he walked out of the office and knocked on my door of my room, and he said, "These books are for you." He said, "This is what I did. I went further into a universal understanding of spirituality than my foreparents did, and I've stretched it quite a bit. But this material is a stretch for me that I don't know if I can stretch yet. So I'm turning these over to you because your job is to stretch beyond any confines that I introduced into your mind. You're supposed to become as universal as possible, and it looks like this material may bring you there." The entire Course in Miracles rests on one statement, and that statement is, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And then the course begins to instruct you so clearly with daily workbook lessons and a text and a teacher's manual, so that therefore every morning for 365 days out of the year, you have a date with the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to instruct you with a lesson. The lessons are based on calling us into a point where we never spend much time off the bar. The lessons are to break you down in order to build you up. They're to show you that you are not at all who you think you are. Because who you think you are is a reactive machine. And when somebody pushes your happy button, well, doggone it, you get happy. And if somebody pushes your angry button, you get angry. And if somebody pushes your sad button, you get sad. And when somebody pushes your confused button, you get confused. A Course in Miracles offers an opportunity to stop pretending you're a machine. Stop believing you're a machine. Stop believing that being a reactionary unit is not who you were born to be. So it tells you that who you think you are is not real. Who you think you are is an illusion. Who you think you are is an ego, separate from all other egos and separate certainly from the Ba. It teaches you that in truth you are one self, united with your Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and that you are limitless in power and in peace. It tells you that even though this is who you really are, limitless in power, limitless in peace, at one with God, at one with everyone, you will never know that while you're off the Ba. And if you are on the Ba, you are instantly the light of the world. You instantly, knowing you are one self, lose all desire to hurt yourself, knowing that if you hurt someone else, you're hurting you. If you're talking crap about somebody else, you're talking crap about you. If you are wishing for another's downfall, you are secretly wishing for your own. There is no way out. The law is the law. What you put out gets multiplied and returned right back to your bosom. And you sit there with bile in your throat and a sick feeling in your stomach. And you wonder if you picked up a flu, when what you've really picked up is the boomerang you sent out to knock somebody's socks off, to knock somebody upside the head. All of your energy will be multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and returned to your bosom. And you know that. You have been there before. So what many of you are doing is doing the same doggone thing that didn't work, hoping one day it will work. A Course in Miracles says, you don't really know how to love. The closest you can ever get to it is the practice of forgiveness. A Course in Miracles also says, there is never, ever, ever a shortage of opportunities for us to practice the art of happiness, which is the art of forgiveness. There are no shortages. People will do stuff that will tick you off. People will do things that will hurt your feelings. People will do things that you find to be insulting. But don't hover over the pothole talking on and on and on and on about what they did. Get your butt back on the bus. Reconnect with your mother's milk. You don't have time to waste. You do not have time to practice the same old useless behavior. None of us do. None of us do. The clock is ticking. You want to spend as much time as possible in a place of a holy instant, which is a place where you have dropped the rock, and it doesn't matter if they are still holding on to a rock. That's none of your business. It's you who are called to drop the rock in the name of your own happiness. How dare we think we can be happy hoping someone out there is not? How dare we think we can be happy when we are playing the blame game and the game of fractured being and the game of you have hurt me? In order to get your feelings hurt, stay off the bar, you have to forget that that affirmation that Britt just put in that program is true. You have to completely forget that there is only one power and one presence in the universe and in your life. You have to get rid of that. You have to rip that up and throw it away. You have to burn it. You have to get it out of your sight, get it out of your mind, and get it out of your heart in order for you to roll your sleeves up and go out there and put your dukes up and do battle with somebody. Of Course in Miracles says that all of your battling with a so-called other is shadow boxing. It's your own shadow you're boxing with. You think something's coming at you. You turn around. You're ready to strike. It's your own shadow. All there are reflections of God. All there are reflections of yourself. Of Course in Miracles says that a holiest spot on earth, the holiest spot on earth, is where a past hatred becomes a current love. Many of us know that's true because we've given it a try. If you've been holding on to somebody, blaming them, shaming them, talking trash about them, being hurt by them, being upset, being completely out of peace because of them, and you got them by the throat. If you ever choose to let them go, if you ever choose to drop the rock, if you ever choose to do what a Christ being would do, you will cry like a baby. I once cried for 3 days in a row with rejoicing for the freedom that I felt for having let a dude go that I had been holding by the throat for a few years while being a preacher. While teaching the course, while counseling whoever made an appointment to drop their own rock. You've got to be out of your mind to do what Jesus asks us to do, which is that if someone curses you, you bless them. That's not a human reaction, but like I told you a couple of last month, you're not just a human. So we say, oh, it's only human. Well, you're not only human. It's only natural. Well, aren't you supernaturally endowed? Don't play human. Don't play only natural. Because what that is being a machine. And we feel so good when we love the people who love us. And Jesus says, you don't get no perks for that, dude. You don't get no bonus points for loving people who love you. I've said from this platform, a dog can do that. We don't have time to mess around. In the last 12 days, I have two friends that are no longer on the planet. One of them hung himself in his barn because life was just too rough. Too much tragedy. Still warring in the Middle East. Still racism. Still racial profiling. Still an unlevel playing field. The world ain't getting itself together. I can't stay here no longer. and left the dinner table with his family sitting there and went into the barn and hung himself. A few days later, my friend Michael, who had a new beginning in his life, he had been without a soulmate, without a partner for many years, had always wanted one, finally found one, got married. She came with a family. He's on top of the world. It's leaf season in Western Massachusetts, and my friend Michael gets up in the morning to go out and take a nice bicycle ride to look at the beauty of the leaves. When while he traveled, someone in a pickup truck came flying around the corner, did not see him, and according to the paramedics, he was dead in the moment his head hit the blacktop. We don't have time to be reactionary. We don't have time not to be happy. We don't have time to keep putting that affirmation that there is only one power, one presence in the universe and in my life, and that that is God the good. Why do we keep throwing that away to say there is another power, and it's that dude trying to bring me down? It's that person who lied to me. It's that person who cheated on me. Talk about a power. I have not had a peace of mind moment since the event, since I hit that rumble bump, since I hit that pothole. They're the power that took my joy. They're the power that took my peace. They're the power that took my excitement. They're the power that took my capacity to understand that that principle is true every day in every way. A Course in Miracles once again says nothing real can be threatened. Your peace of mind cannot be taken from you. You can give it away and invoice somebody as though they took it. But can't nobody take your peace of mind? No one can take the harmony in your heart. You can give it away, then invoice them for having taken it. It's yours. It's who you are. A Course in Miracles says, I desire this holy instant. A holy instant is an instant where you are completely at peace because you completely know you are one with the Creator and all of creation. So it says, I desire this holy instant for myself, that I might share it with you, my brothers and my sisters, whom I love. It is not possible that I could ever have a holy instant without you. That you that it's talking about, that could be me talking to my ex-wife. It's impossible for me to experience a holy moment without you, woman. It could be one of my used-to-be friends in my neighborhood that dropped me like a rock because somebody told them that, oh, I think this dude was hooked up with a dude 20-some years ago. So it's having me look at that person and go, I can't have a holy instant without you. But it is wholly possible for us to share one now. And so I choose this instant as the one to offer to the Holy Spirit that its blessing may descend on us and keep us each in peace. Let me wind down by going to the talk title that I have in the program today. The talk title, one of my favorite statements from A Course in Miracles. The holiest spot on earth is where a past hatred has been exchanged for a present love. I remember going into meditation when I ran across this in the 70s. I went into meditation to ask Jesus, who claims authorship of the Course in Miracles, why is it that the holiest spot on earth is where a past grievance or a past hatred becomes a present love? Why isn't the holiest spot on earth the place where there has never been a grievance? And Jesus answered, no such place exists on your planet. There is no place on planet Earth where a grievance has not shown its face. And so the holiest spot is where you get to exchange. You can declare your grievance. I can't believe he could do such a thing. Om Namah Shivaya. I can't believe she could say that. Om Shanti Om. I can't believe another person got shot by another person. Allah is all there is. You have the power to keep holding somebody by the throat or to let them go. The choice is yours. You can hold on to their throat. Keep telling the story about how that pothole ruins your day, ruins your car, ruins your trip, ruins your life. And plenty will want to come and listen. And they will want to say, I hear you, girl. You got that right, buddy. There's a lot to talk crap about. Hopefully, by the end of the week, after another week of CNN, we can get together and talk more crap about more stuff. Isn't it so exciting? Such a high, such a rush. We don't have time for that. I don't know about you. I don't have time for that. Nothing wrong with getting off the bar. Just get right back on it. Please know that you're being at enmity with people who are at enmity with you. It's not going to get you a moment of happiness. You can have a fake little high, get your adrenaline going, get your motor all stirred up, your heart is beating, your hands are shaking in rage, and you don't know that is not enlivening, it is deadening. I've been at this church, I think, since it started. And I know how it started. It started because there was a big blow-up at another church. And when the dust settled after the big blow-up, nothing was dead. Something had been born. Unity of New York, born out of the ashes like a phoenix of something that was no longer meant to be in that structure, in that space. I know the excitement we all had 16 and a half years ago that this ministry was born. I don't remember any of us praying all that much or concentrating much attention on the other ministry. I remember us happy. So many people have come together to be a part of this new ministry. Yay, God. God rocks. But you put that shoe on another foot. Ouch! 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 Whoa! What was that? An opportunity to get back on the bar. The holiest spot on earth is where a past grievance becomes a current love. And I have faith that there are going to be at least three of you today in this house of God today who have been off the bar, who are going to shove that bad boy back into your mouth today. I have absolute faith that a minimum of three of you, a minimum of three of you are going to drop the rock that you have been holding on to, searching out someone to stone them for being so powerful that they robbed you of the first principle. At least three people are not the same as you were before I came on this platform to talk about my granddaughter. So once again, she's preaching. And when I get to her sweet 16, I'm going to slip her a tithe. I've already got her birthday handled. I've got her gift. I've got her card. I've got the money that she is going to be putting toward her driver's permit and horseback riding lessons. But I also got to add to it. I got to tithe to her today. And I got to say, sweet 16, granddaughter of mine, child, when we got to New York today, you preached. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Wait. You got to be out of your mind to do this, but hopefully some of you are out of your mind enough to do it. I want you to think of someone, one person, who you have been cursing in any way. You've been blaming them. You think they're wrong. You think they're bad. You think they're naughty. You think they're up to no good. One person that has been keeping you off the bar. And I want you to drop the rock on that person. I want you to let it go in the name of your own happiness. It won't get you anything you desire. It'll just get you more upset. It'll increase more lessons. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is your function as the light of the world. Be who you are. You are the light of the world. Don't freak out when a dark passage comes. That's why you're a light. Shine it away. Shine it away!
We are so blessed. How wonderful it is at this moment in our service to just be still again and relax, to feel our chair supporting us, knowing we can breathe deeply in this moment and let go of any tension right now. Just take a moment and be aware of the quiet around you. Listen closely, and you can hear the vibration of hundreds of hearts beating in sync with yours. In this sacred space, there is infinite peace and calm this morning. Let your mind rest and let love fill your heart. In this time of quiet reflection, when we pause and process the lessons we have heard this morning, I feel my heart open to embrace the message that is mine today. As we take one more deep breath, we feel a quiet shift in our perception. In this prayerful place, it's just you and Spirit and infinite possibilities for good, infinite possibilities for healing and peace of mind and body and soul. In this divine instant, we can put aside illusions and feel our human defenses dropping away. Here, face to face with our divine source, with fresh eyes of love, we welcome into our hearts our brothers and sisters in our community, throughout our city, and around our world. Here in God's presence, in the clarity of our hearts, we regard them gently, looking with the soft eyes of compassion, and seeing all others as God sees them, as beloved children of God, just as beautiful, just as loving, just as worthy as we. In this holy moment of prayer today, we put aside any confusion or anger, any misunderstanding or judgment from our limited perception. We see this sadness dissolve like fog in the morning sun. The stories we have fancied are no more. With courage, we choose to put aside everything except love. And we send our forgiveness and our blessings to the world. Surrounded by my brothers and sisters, Spirit reveals there is no separation, no space at all. And we are shoulder to shoulder in oneness in this prayer. When we see the face of God in all human beings, we know again our own oneness with Spirit. With this knowing, I feel God's powerful love soothing my heart and strengthening me, clearing away any cobwebs or darkness, any pockets of doubt or fear or resentment. The light in my heart increases with every breath, and the faces of those I am holding in my heart become clearer and clearer until they seem lit from within. With new eyes, I see the light of God in every face. I feel the love of God in every heart. And as we move into our time of silence, we bask in the warmth of God's light and love, reflecting from one to the other in this heart of prayer. as we take one more deep breath, feel the lightness of your heart. When we are filled with love, we are completely weightless. From this moment of forgiveness and love, we gently become aware once more of our worship space and the people around us. We return to awareness and know that we have received every blessing we have extended, and that we are standing all together on holy ground. And so it is. Amen.